Victoria's racing heartland. This is the only program dedicated to Victorian country racing. Welcome to the Country Racing Show. It's got it all.
I can feel this day. I can see this day. It's got it all.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Country Racing Show. It is great to have your company for what once again was another big week in racing around the state of Victoria. And it is great to have my cohorts back. It was a empty studio last week. Well done to Mick Sharkey, who jumped off the bench admirably. But we have Maggie Payne and also Darren Galley back finally from the Bull. How are you guys?
Look, we're fantastic. I'm feeling refreshed.
Better than last week?
Yeah, oh, last week I was in top shape, actually.
So the reports that you were maybe held up down at Warrnambool were not 100% correct?
Well, the roadworks, as you know, were fairly...
They were very loud.
They impacted our timeline, and also we had a power outage at the office, which meant that we couldn't actually do any preparation. So it was unfortunate, but we're here this week, and we're ready to catch up.
How was the Bull for you, Maggie? Did you get through unscathed?
I was pretty unscathed, but I didn't follow advice from people. Don't get called up at the Whalers with jockeys and late nights. So it was a great carnival, and it was my first, and I definitely can't wait to be back. It was brilliant and one to remember, that's for sure.
Well, you have done well to get out of your first carnival relatively unscathed. It is like a vortex, the Whalers getting sucked in there. We're going to have a look at the highlights of the Bull with Darren Galley, because we went through all the big races last week, but we need to relive one moment with you, Daz. Speaking of looking back, let's have a look at the last 7 days.
On the Country Racing Show, the Country Racing Week That Was.
And I don't think there's any doubt in the world what the highlight was. And it was so good to see Harry Coffey get his first Group 1 with Suppressor.
But Suppressor! Suppressor for Harry Coffey! The jockey who overcame adversity wins his first Group 1 and beats She's Dashing with Miss Admiration close up. So was Pleasuring. Then Aloysia.
Oh, it was a great call and a great win by Harry Coffey. And Maggie, I can't remember where the whole racing industry as one have cheered so hard for one win.
And it was brilliant. And as you said, Michael, the whole community, racing community, got behind Harry. And as from CRV, we're so excited for him. But it's not only the racing community that's excited and happy for Harry to get this great Group 1 win, but it's the wider community and the CF community, as it's been spoken about. But not only was it a great win, it was a great ride and great story.
Perfect. Certainly was. Yeah, it was a great rider. I had a chance to chat with Osti during the week at Warrnambool, and I asked him about the rider as it was coming up, and he could just tell the nervousness in Osti talking and even just thinking about the possibilities. So for it actually to come to fruition is a fantastic outcome. As Maggie said, not just for country racing, because we've been on Harry's coattails for many, many years now, but also the wider community. I think the outpouring of love for Harry and from fellow jocks, but also CF sufferers, is fantastic. And credit to the young man and his family, the way they behaved this last week in particular.
He is a great ambassador for the sport. This is a snippet of what he had to say after winning his first Group 1.
It's a great feeling. I'm on top of the world, and it's just been incredible. The messages and the social media, you know, it's special to win a Group 1, but the response I've had from not only friends, but just the general community, racing and just general public, it's amazing. And I couldn't have thought, you know, everyone wants to win a Group 1, but this Group 1's not only special for me and my family, but for the racing community in general and people with CF everywhere.
Oh, he is an absolute champion, and I am sure there will be other Group 1s just around the corner as well. It was a big day as well for another jockey at Flemington, Daz.
Yeah, it certainly was. Great to see young Lockie Kinn, who I think is going to be a superstar. He has been
riding.
We've spoken about him many, many times over the last 6 or 9 months on this show about the number of wins he has, and I think to get his first win in Melbourne's a great credit to him. So I think bigger and better things in store for young Lockie, with Sherlock Holmes on the weekend saluting.
It was a lovely ride too, wasn't it, Maggie?
And it was a lovely ride, and he held on, and I caught up with Lockie and Steve that night, and they were very happy and celebrated appropriately. So we're excited for Lockie to get his first Metro winner.
Spending a lot of time with jockeys and trainers too.
No, that was coincidental.
You are the obviously the liaison of celebrations.
Darren does say I have to do a lot more background research, so I took it to the next level. And
twice
just...
ever.
A new segment. It'll be next week on the Country Racing Show, Maggie Payne After Dark.
Yeah, Maggie's quite partial to the Jager bomb, so I can see a new segment, Jager bombs with Maggie or something.
I like it. We can just get that sound of the Jager being dropped into the Red Bull. We'll do that next week. Speaking of Jager bomb celebrations, I'm sure you went and had a few down at the Bull.
Well, certainly did after we did you see that segment with the Big Bad Baz.
Did you see that?
And then Angelica's under the whip. Bianco Nuvo led around the turn from Satin Sheen. Big Bad Baz, the favourite's gone to the outside. Count Zero's got out and battles on as well. Leader is Bianco Nuvo. Big Bad Baz is coming though. So is Count Zero. Bianco Nuovo. Big Bad Baz and Count Zero. Big Bad Baz is going to give Weir another winner. Down the outside, he won by a neck. Second, Bianco Nuovo, and third, Count Zero. They donkey licked the others.
You'd been spruiking him for weeks, and he got the job done. $1.40 as well, so a big price winner for you, Daz.
It was indeed. He opened at $2.20 on the Monday, but I think with a couple of scratchings and a bit of a spruik going around town, I think you led that spruik, Michael. He did crash into red figures. But anyway, we're very happy with the fact that he won. He's actually hopefully going off to the Big Smoke next week for a city run, and all going well, we might head north a bit of sun.
Gee, what was he like after the win of Big Bad Baz? Was he out in the town with you?
Let's just say he's a lot better after than what he was before. He was a bit nervous when it came crunching in, but Baz definitely saluted and did the job, so
and
it was a great win.
Got to get the trophy too. That's pretty exciting.
Very good, very good. Speaking of last week's action, gee, we had some really good racing as well. We kicked things off with Horsham and a double for Declan Bates.
Certainly did. Also, one of the horses he rode the winner of, which is I Am Someone, is heading across to Adelaide for the weekend in race two at Morphettville. So quite a few horses that actually won or performed very well down at Warrnambool racing across this weekend. So both in Melbourne and Adelaide. But Declan's been riding very well. He rode I Am Someone for Paul Prusker and also then backed up later in the day with Peter Hardacre's horse Centenary Shot. So again, another young jockey, I think, so going places.
Declan had a good run over the weekend because on Sunday, Declan Maher was in the winner's stall.
He was, and he got his third career winner with Newbury, with Richard Cully on board. He obviously won his first race, kicking off with the Tawong Cup earlier in the year. And not only was it a good day for him, it was a good day for his brother, Kieran, winning race six with Charlie's World. So good day for them at Werribee. And also Saab Hassan, dual meeting treble at Pakenham and Werribee.
Good effort.
For the Sunday. Great effort, yep.
Not a huge stable to win a treble over two meetings, that's big for Saab.
Well, just the logistics of getting across the two meetings for a small stable like Saab has would be a bit of a challenge, but also he may actually find it tough over the next few weeks or months, particularly with now that Daniel Moore is moving overseas to Singapore to pick up a nice riding contract. I think Daniel has got a phenomenal strike rate when riding Saab's horses. I think 21 starts for 7 wins and about 8 placings, so hopefully you can find a good jock to replace Daniel Moore. Good luck to Daniel, who's heading OS.
He has been absolutely flying too, Daniel Moore. He will do so well over in Singapore. He already has in small stints, but good to see him get a more lengthy contract over there. On Monday, when you speak of locals and where you want to be backing them, you think of one name when they race at Wangaratta, and that is the Ledgers. And gee, they had a day out.
They had a day out, that's for sure. So, yeah, like as you say, when you go to Wang, you look for all the Ledger horses, and they had the 4 wins in race 2, 4 and 8. So, and to kick off, to end the card with Ava Party with Luke Nolan, it was great. And racing.com caught up with John Ledger after the last.
Yeah, it certainly is, Kev. The win 4 in Victoria at any tab meeting with a stable our size is a great thrill, and tributes to a lot of hard work by a really good group of people. And Chris and Brad, I can't thank them enough for, you know, my back hump and my sons. Obviously, I'm proud of them. And we've got very loyal owners. This lady here, Julie, has been with the Ledgers for 30 years. Hard got one before with the Vodasex, who go right back to Brave Chief and those horses. So it's a special day, and it's great for everybody involved. And Luke Nolan was a great friend of Adrian, so that's important to us as well.
He's such a horseman. I think that's the best term to describe John and his boys as well. They always have a good horse and they always know how to place him. And good to see the combination with Luke Nolan as well.
Yeah, it certainly was. I do remember we spoke to John going back just prior to the Wang Cup Carnival a few months ago now, and he tipped us into Think Positive that slid in the last race of that particular two-day carnival. So, as you say, very much a horse family. Also, Mick Price had a nice day. There were a couple of winners there with Liel and Langro. I think Langro might be a really nice horse to follow. Won by 5.5 lengths, yes. Doing it quite nicely. So, but poor old Talia Hope had a bit of bad luck there. She had a fall, I think, on that day. She had been riding in good form, had a couple of winners in the last few weeks. But hopefully Talia has a speedy recovery from a broken left clavicle.
Yeah, so collarbone, she's done there, ouch. Unfortunately. And that's a tough injury for a jockey. So we wish Talia all the best. She'll be on the sidelines for a little while. I agree with what you say about Mick Price, and it's always good to see when Mick Price takes his horses to these country tracks, and it's a good sign of recognition of how good the Wangaratta track is, yep. that he takes these good horses there.
Absolutely. Being a 3 or 4 hour trip up the highway, you obviously want to go to get a win, and he's certainly done that with both those horses on that day.
Well down to the ledges, Mick Price, and good luck to Talia in her recovery from that broken collarbone. Thursday, Echuca, what were the highlights there, Maggie?
Well, I think it's safe to say Jai McNeil is making Echuca his heartland. So he rode a treble yesterday, rode 4 winners at the last Echuca meeting. So if we spoke about the ledges and Wangaratta, I think if you see Jai McNeil in the book for Echuca, put him down. So, and a double for trainer Robbie Griffiths.
And also, if you're going with the old home track favouritism, Daryl Archard and also Reach Archard always seem to find a winner on their home track. So Blue Jangles backed up in race 5 to win there again. And then good old Linda Meach is just screaming along in front of the terms of the jockeys' premiership this year. She had a winner through the week and stretched her lead to 3 premiership points. So getting towards the end of the season, it'd be nice to see a change of winner there with Linda just ahead of Jamie Mott by 3 wins.
I was going to say, yeah, what are the top 2 or 3 in the Jockeys Premiership? Can you give us those, Maggie?
I can, Michael. I'll just find it. So obviously up the top, we've got Linda and Jamie heading, and then we've got Damien Thornton, who obviously come second in that group 1 last week. And
he's been riding so well.
He's having a great year. So with She's Dashing, and I heard him earlier in the week saying if anyone could have beat him to his first group 1, he was happy it was Harry. So good to see Damien up there and amongst it. And then fourth, Dean Yendall. So how many Jockeys Premiership has he won over the last years?
I think he's won the last 7 and 8 in total. Linda's won one premiership going back about a decade ago, so it'd be nice to see Linda. If you remember this time last year, we were talking her up as a big chance to knock Dean off, but then got suspended the last couple of weeks of the season. So hopefully she can stay on the right side of the stewards this year and ride throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah, it'll be a great battle. And for Jamie Mott to be so close when we know the battles that he's got with his weight, it's a remarkable performance.
Certainly is. I actually need to probably investigate that, because some of those wins where he is on 75 wins may in fact be over the jump. So there may be a bit of a technicality there we need to clear up before we get towards the end of the season.
Okay. Well, you are Mr. Country Racing.
Well, remember last year we had also the Scotty Gullen issue with his horse and how we had to pull that from from the Country Horse of the Year.
And since then, the horse has gone, he's had depression, he hasn't raced since. So he didn't take it very well.
Fair enough.
What about Thursday, Racing.com Park and Clayton Douglas? To the fore.
Yeah, had a great week, Clayton. He had some wins the previous week at Warrnambool, but this is a fantastic chance for you here, Maggie. Inverjusafidze, how do you pronounce your surname?
EJ. EJ.
No, I want to have another crack.
Inverjusafidze. How's that going?
Not sure how European.
Stick with EJ.
Well, anyway,
dialect is. But
he had a horse called Educate, and there's also a winner by Clayton Douglas called Champagne Cocktail. Maybe you should put those two together.
Yeah, maybe I need to be a bit more educated on my champagne intake, but.
I like it.
No, it was a great night at Pakenham. Obviously, a bit drizzly rain. So well done to participants to braving the conditions and putting a great meeting on.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Well, that was a extended look back on the week that was, with a few snippets from the Bull. Coming up next, we're going to spin a yarn with Dan Bowman.
From Victoria's racing heartland, the Country Racing Show. The people at the grassroots of racing. We're spinning a yarn on the Country Racing Show.
And it's always great to spin a yarn with one of the young gun trainers, the up-and-comers in the state, and that is Dan Bowman, keeping the Warrnambool theme going. He is one of the locals who dominates down there. How are you, Daniel?
Good, thanks, guys.
Got Maggie Payne and also the Count of Country Racing, Darren Galley, here in the studio. Hey, Dan, we're going to talk about your life and times, but how did you get involved in racing? Is there any family background?
One grandfather was a bookmaker, and my father worked the bag for him, so I was getting dragged to the races from when I was about 4 or 5 years old. And then my other grandpa was an illegal FP. He's passed away now, so I can say that, because they won't be looking for
him. So how come you didn't decide to become a satchel swinger?
Well, I was obviously enjoyed a punt from a young age, two bob each way. And then I thought when I got to about 19, there's got to be an easier way to get some inside information. So I got a job with Kira and just went from there.
Well, that's very smart. And I'll tell you what, anytime a Daniel Bowman horse is backed, you want to be on. It's a very astute stable.
Now, Daniel, this is Darren, mate. Did you actually start, though, after you finished school as a plumber? And then from that point, did you realise that was too much hard work and went across to work for Kieran Maher?
Yeah, I did a bit of labouring as a plumber and then went to TradeLink Plumbing, worked behind the counter. And then I was, at that stage, I was at Kieran's part-time in the afternoons when I finished there. And yeah, just when I got that taste for it, I realised I wanted to be outdoors with the horses rather than be behind the counter.
And were you always intent on becoming a trainer, or that just evolved naturally over those next couple of years?
It probably wasn't until I got to Lindsay Park in Adelaide and got to work with a lot of well-bred young horses and see what it's all like that really inspired me to want to train myself.
And Dan, you took out your licence in 2014, and you speak about your time at Lindsay Park and also with Kieran Maher, but further to that, Darren Weir and Jared McLean, how much do you think that they've shaped you as a trainer and your philosophies into your horses now?
Probably everything to all of those guys. You know, I took a little piece of their methods and their mentality away from my time with them and moulded my own philosophies. You know, Kieran's obviously an amazing conditioner of a horse. Anyone that can win 2 year-old races to Caulfield Cups to Grand Annuals obviously is an extremely good conditioner of a horse. And then at Lindsay Park, really learned how to manage a big team and train young horses. And then obviously in my time at Forest Lodge, learned from Darren, once you get a horse in peak form, how to keep them up and get a good long prep out of them.
Gee, when you talk about the elite of Australian training, they're the guys who you've been learning off. For those guys in particular, how much of it is innate and how much of a horseman are they, and that you've got to be able to know the animal and have that connection with the animal as well?
With likes of Kieran and Darren, they're two of the best horsemen I've come across in my time. In terms of the Lindsay Park setup, they obviously had the system in place from when Colin was there. I had a lot of good people there. Obviously, when you've got a big team like that, David can't be on top of everything. So he had to surround himself with good people. And then going from there to Darren's and being there when it grew, Darren also took from that and surrounded himself with good people while his team grew as well. So all three trained quite differently, but all very obviously very successful.
And now since you've become a trainer, Dan, you had your first winner with Jarrah Twist. Sorry, how was it to get your first win at your home track?
Yeah, that was a big thrill. You know, my father helped me buy the horse and then we put a few friends and stuff in it. Set him up for his first start at Warrnambool. I was still at
what price did you get?
I think he jumped $2.60, but I think a lot of people got 7 or 8 to 1.
Oh, wow.
And he's been working with Stardom Star, so we had a bit of a guide because he'd gone to the, I think he was going to the Carbine Club and then second to Kermadec, so a pretty good guide from his work that he was in an order for a Benchmark 64 at Warrnambool, that's for sure.
What gives you more satisfaction, getting the cash from the bookies or getting a winner?
getting a winner. I'm happy to win a race anywhere. I'm a bit like,
now, Dan, you've got about...
I think I mozz them if I tip them or put my money on, usually mozzes them. So I've sort of gone away from the punting aspect over the last few years and just more focused on winning as many races as I can now.
You've got about 30 or so horses in your stable. Is that the right size for you now? Are you looking to grow that over the next couple of years?
Yeah, 30 is exactly how many we'd like to have. I think every trainer needs to know their number. And I think you can get ahead of yourself and expand when you're not ready and when you haven't got the right systems in place. So my system suits the 30 horses. And if I tried to get bigger, I'd have to change that. And I'd really need another person that thinks like you and operates like you. And I think that's why in those big partnerships, like Maddie and Simon and the Hawks team and Snowden, they're family. And, you know, family sort of know how each other work and operate. I think that's why the big partnerships that are family are very successful.
Now, you're only a young bloke and you've been doing remarkably well, but training is a grueling lifestyle. It's 24/7. You can never really get away or take time off. What do you do to try and de-stress outside of racing?
I spend all the time with my kids at the moment. Got a 3-year-old son, Charlie, and a 10-month-old daughter, Annie.
Oh, you are busy.
Yeah, so my wife, Anita, does an extremely big job doing the bookwork and looking after the kids while I'm at work or at the races. But, you know, it doesn't matter whether you've had a bad day at the races. You come home and the kids are there, they don't know what you've been up to, so it's easy to switch off.
And are you a bit of a foodie?
Yes, love good food. Really like going to good restaurants and eating high-quality food. But in the same breath, I'm happy to go to down the corner pub and have a pot and a parma as well.
So next time we're in Warrnambool, Dan, we'll have to get some advice on where to go, because I'm sure we were all there last week and we didn't do any fine dining, but we'll have to take notes off you.
You were having service.
A couple of months ago, the racing.com guys were down to shoot a promos, and I told them where the best places to eat were, and they gave me 5 stars. So if you want to know where to eat...
Well, give them a plug. What's the best place at the Bull?
The best places, in my opinion, is probably the Warrnambool Hotel and Logan's Restaurant. They do really good food and good service and good people, so you can't go wrong.
Where do you think is the best place you've gone out? What's the most fancy restaurant that you've liked that you've been to?
I think it's on our honeymoon we went to Port Douglas, and I think it's called Watergate. That was really good food. I was really impressed there. But obviously Port Douglas, fresh seafood straight off the boat. Sort of can't go wrong there.
Now, hopefully, by the end of the Donald Meeting on Saturday, you'll have a cause to celebrate with Mumbles, which you have going around the 2-year-old Classic. How's he pulled up after his run last week at Warrnambool?
Yeah, he's come to it really good. He just, I think, in the circumstances from the wide gate, just sort of got stuck on the back of a two that we didn't want to be, and it was sort of on-pace dictated. So, look, from a better draw, put the winkers on, he's just sort of doesn't muster speed early out of the gate. He sort of wants 1400, but there's not a lot of 1,400-metre action. We've elected to stay at 1,200 and put the winkers on to try and help him take up a forward position in the run.
Did you name him after Darren?
No, he's named after the Dick Tracy movie.
Well,
it might be more like Nick Freeman. He mumbles a bit more.
Dan, well, best of luck. It's always a good, strong two-year-old race, the two-year-old classic at Donald. It'll be good to see Mumbles perform well. Thanks for taking time to spin a yarn for us, with us, and give us a little insight into your life and times. The stable is going really well. Good luck with everything in the future.
Thanks very much.
Dan Bowman, what a great young trainer he is. A 3-year-old and a 10-month as well.
That's
busy,
hard work.
Busy time.
As you would know.
Plus 30 horses.
Yes. And he's given us a good tip for where to get a feed down at Warrnambool as well. The Warrnambool Hotel, that's the place to be. That was Spinning a Yarn with Dan Bowman.
I'm on the road again. It's where I want to be. Here's what's coming up in the country calendar on the road ahead.
Oh, another big week of racing around the state. Maggie, what are we looking forward to?
As we just spoke about, where probably the highlight of our weekend is, other than the Mother's Day, is the 2-year-old classic at Donald on Saturday. And then rolling into Sunday, Mother's Day, where we all, I'm sure, will treat our mothers very well. And Ballarat got a special Mother's Day races and a few hurdles earlier in the card. Bairnsdale have the running of the Lindeno Cup, which I think you have a bit of trivia about, Darren.
I do indeed, Maggie. Bill Collins made his debut at Lindeno Cup Day in 1943. First
really?
Race call he did. He got to the race meeting that day day as, an understudy. The race caller who was rostered on didn't show. So Bill got the call up and called the card and obviously became one of the greatest callers of all time since.
Wow, we.
So I'm not sure who's calling it Bairnsdale on Sunday. Big shoes to fill. Then we roll into the start of the week. We have Monday racing at Hamilton, and then Tuesday out at Sale, back out at Gippsland. Wednesday, no racing, country racing, that is. Thursday, we're finishing our week with Kilmore and Pakenham Night Meeting on the synthetic. And Friday, Geelong Surf Coast Times, Torquay Cup, and Cranbourne Night Racing.
So. Excellent. That now brings us to the Big V.
Panning for punting gold this weekend, the Country Racing Show loads up with Victoria's best bet.
All right, guys, we had a week off the Big V, so you both were successful. You didn't lose any money last week, which was very good.
I'm claiming Big Bad Baz.
$1.40.
That was my best bet
we
of the week.
We cannot give you $1.40. Yeah. All right, time for you to try and all up the $1.40. Where are you going this week?
Actually going to Donald, the two-year-old classic. Having spoken to Dan Bowman, I was actually quite keen on Mumbles. I did tip it down at Warrnambool, and as he said, it did get away slowly, got caught at the back, caught in traffic at the top of the straight, but ran home very nicely. I think the extra distance will suit. His last 400 last week were one of the fastest on the for the race. Drawn better this time in barrier two, so hopefully gets a nice run up on the speed, and we'll do his best work late, and we'll be looking for further, but I think that's probably good for this particular race. The wet I'm unsure of, but I think Mumbles is a good chance at about $5 at the moment.
Mumbles, an omen bet there for Daz. What about you, Maggie?
I'm heading to Bairnsdale on Sunday, race six, the Lindeno Cup, as we just spoke about. I'm sticking with the Mick Price horse, number two, Zimzala, with King Kello taking the ride. So the last three starts have been placed each time, even running behind Flying Murdy, one out of Greg Urell's stable, who went on to win at City Meeting. So over a year since Zimbala's last win, but hopefully can get it done on Sunday at Bairnsdale.
Good form lines, and the King Kello and Mick Price combination are always hard to beat. Great to see you guys. We'll do it all again next week.
Can't wait.
Great to see you.
Thanks for joining us on the Country Racing Show. I can feel
this
day. I
can see this day. It's got it all. This is the only program dedicated to Victorian country racing. The Country Racing Show. It's got it all.